Veterans Day message. Going to be in 1 Peter chapter 5. Give you a second to get there. 1 Peter chapter 5. And a few things before I read the text I want us to think about. When we think about our nation and we live in a world that's full of wars and rumors of wars. And do you ever notice, and you got to go all the way back really as far as our homeland, the continent of the United States. You know, since England, since we tried to become a nation, this our country has never been attacked by an invading nation, another nation trying to, or an army trying to attack our homeland. I don't know, you know, of course, when they were fighting over Texas, technically it wasn't part of the country yet, I don't think. And so no one has actually invaded, or another nation has tried to invade this nation. And the reason is because of our military might. That because we have men and women stationed all around the country, all over the world, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, we've got the Coast Guard, not to mention National Guard, we've got the reserves, and we got a lot of rednecks with guns that live in this country. And so, you know, there's the world, listen, our enemies know that. You know, I mean, that's funny, but our enemies know that. They know that they're aware of it, and that's why that we never have an attack against us in that way. When we look at 9/11, September 11th, that was an inside attack. That was an infiltration, a terrorist. That listen, the Taliban and whoever's responsible, all those, they know they couldn't attack this country. I mean, they couldn't. Number one, they couldn't get through all the metal detectors and everything on the airlines to get over here. they couldn't. They're not going to defeat this country by a full frontal attack. And so there was a terrorist. They came in incognito. And the way terrorists work, they get in and they get to where you're comfortable, or they get to where you least expect it. And so when we look at how that ties into our Christian walk, that, you know, we have an enemy too. And that's the title of the message. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary," that's your enemy, "the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." The text tells us there to be sober, to be vigilant. Why? Because Satan's the same way. Satan comes in incognito, in disguise. The Bible says that he transforms himself into an angel of light. Listen, everybody knows, you know, if the devil stood before us, a red suit looking, red looking guy with a pitchfork in his hand and horns coming out of his head, we would flee from him. We would realize that that's the enemy that he's coming. That's not how he comes, because he knows that's not going to work, especially against God's people. And so, listen, he works from within, and he gets you when your guard is down. That's how Satan works. He also works in areas, let me tell you something about Satan, he works in areas that you can't control. You can't do anything about it, aside from prayer and God control. But there's areas that Satan works in that we cannot control those circumstances. Satan can, and he does, cause circumstances. Think about this. There's circumstances that goes on in our life and in the world's life that Satan has caused those circumstances. And he has a purpose behind that. So, if you know, when you're saved, listen, you have an enemy that's seeking to attack you. There's a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't want to get in a fight. It doesn't matter. Huh? Listen, I don't know about you, man, and you may not want to get in a physical fight with anybody anyway, either, no matter what. But if somebody jumps on you, if somebody starts punching at me, I'm going to start punching back. You know, I mean, that's just, I'm going to bite, claw, scratch, poke eyeballs, gouge, you know, whatever I got to do if somebody's attacking me. So I'm going to tell you something. You, whether you want to be in a fight or not, you got an enemy, and he's after you. I'm going to tell you that right now. You've got this enemy. And so there's a fight. And so I got just 3 points, a few points to help us along the way. And if you got to keep this thought in your mind all the time. See, when you know you got an enemy, you're going to be on guard. Huh? And that's our problem. I think a lot of times as Christians, we don't think about it as such that we have an active enemy constantly after us. Boy, you got to watch for that. That's why our text said be vigilant, be sober. Doesn't mean and that means to have your wits about you, and I'll talk about it in a minute what that means. We have an enemy, your adversary, the devil. This is our adversary. This is our enemy. He's not passive. See, you and I, we might have enemies, human enemies, that are not active. They may become active, and they could be active, but they could be passive. They just don't like it, you know. We could have passive enemies. Satan's not one of those. The devil, our adversary, is the active enemy. Our text says that he walks, how's it worded? It said that he, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's looking. He's watching. He's trying to find out who he can get. Now, who does he get? He gets the weak. He gets those that aren't paying attention. You ever watch those TV programs? I like to watch those wildlife shows on television. You go on the National Geographic thing, and they got Africa, you know, and they'll do segments on different animals, and they do the lions. You ever watch those shows and watch how those lions work? And they'll get out there, and even a lion by itself. You know how they work? You know who they get? They go out there and they watch some animal. Maybe there'll be some antelope or something out there, and they get in the grass and they slip along, and there'll be one of them antelopes, and probably all of them that's kind of eating. He's a busy boy. He's done found something good to eat, and he's got his head stuffed down there in the grass going along, and he's not watching as well. That's the one he gets, huh? Or one that maybe has laid up there in the middle of the day, the heat of the day, and you ever watch our old dog gets like this sometimes, and that old sun beating down, and them old eyes start to get droopy, and huh? Yeah, I can do it. I mess with her when she gets like that. My dog, she don't see me grabbing her feet. She don't like you to touch her feet, so I grab them, just aggravate them. That's what the devil does. See, he gets people that, he does the same thing. He gets you when you get in life, you get so busy in life, and you're worried about this, and you're worried about that, and you're trying to get your food, and you got your head stuck down there in the grass. Huh? Satan's watching. Huh? He's slipping up on you. We get distracted with things, or we get discouraged with things, and the Bible tells us to put on our armor, our whole armor, the whole armor of God, and we don't always have our armor on. You know when you put your armor on? When you're going to be in a fight. But when you think you're not in a fight, you don't wear your armor. It's good to take it off, right? Because our armor is Christ. I mean, we know what in His Word, not carrying our sword, the Word of God. Another one of those, you ever when you're watching those shows with the lion, you know another thing they get. Now listen up. They get the one animal that's out there on the fringe. You know, they hardly ever get the one in the middle of the herd. They get that one that's out there on the edge. And then maybe kind of wanders off from the herd just a little bit to kind of isolate that one right there. Just relates, right? You know who Satan will get after? He'll get that Christian that maybe at a church, but they're kind of on the fringe. They're not in there with the group. Every time I've had a one of the cults around here that'll show up at your doorstep and want to yap to you about something, and 99% of them, I used to be, and if I tell them I'm a Baptist or a Baptist pastor, I used to be a Baptist. And I said, I'll tell you exactly what happened to you too. You quit going to church, you fell out for some reason, could be laziness, could be something else. You fell out. And you was just at home doing nothing, and one of them guys showed up, and you hadn't been going, you fell away. There ain't nobody that they got out of a church that was active in church at all the services going. Those cults never get them people out. They get somebody that's out there on the fringe, not connected, just drifting away, kind of gone, wandered off from the main group. That's who they get. You got to have you. If you don't have your guard up, listen. You got to watch this. You got to respect this enemy. I'll tell you why. He's got power. He is intelligent, more intelligent than you and I. And he has help. He's got demons, man, legions of demons. His power. He is permitted. Satan is permitted by God to afflict the righteous. We know it. We see it in Job. Y'all know your Bible. You know Job 1:12. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself. Put not forth thy hand. In other words, everything, circumstantial things in his life. All of his kids got killed on the same day. All of his cattle, all of his livestock, which was money, all of his servants, they all got killed on the same day. It wasn't an accident. God allowed it. Satan did it. It was in his power to take that. It's in Satan's power to a degree. He has power over circumstances of your life. Power over the world. Luke 4:6. The devil said unto him, he said unto Jesus, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. That verse gives me the creeps. I'll tell you why, because I know there's people that have sold their soul literally to the devil to get something that they want. Huh? To get something that they want because he has the power to give it. Huh? That's a temptation to people, if he will, if he wants to. He can if they desire. So he's got power. He's got power over the power to afflict the righteous, power over the world. The Bible says that he's called the prince and the power of the air, that he can work signs and wonders. In 1 Thessalonians 2:9, so he can work signs and wonders. He can do things, amazing things. He could wow you with what he was able to do. That's one of the reasons I think signs and wonders. That's why I don't think God works in signs and wonders right now. I mean, God has it this way because he don't want us to believe that way, but that stuff can be replicated. Even Pharaoh's magicians and all replicated everything that Moses did when they went head to head. He can contempt even the believer. He can tempt even the believer to disobedience. He can inflict disease. Because Satan went on back to God and talked to him a little bit more, and he let him go ahead and take his health, and he said, you just can't take his life. He had boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet right there. So there can be disease that Satan can lay on us as well. And I'm going to tell you what, if he thinks he can get you with it, he'll get you with it if he can do it. He sows tares in the church. Yeah, Satan sows tares in the church. That's taught in the Word of God. What's a tare in the church? Somebody in church that's not saved. That's why sometimes even talking to people, you get advice from people in churches sometimes. Well, listen, not everybody in church is saved. You may not be getting godly advice. Well, how do I know? If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not godly advice. And so there can be tares in the church, and he sows them in there. He can possess men and women. Satan has possessed men and women all down through the Bible. Those two men in Gadara that were running around in the tombs, it said that he talked to one of them, and he said, who are you? And he said, I'm Legion. Man, it was legion. This guy was possessed with a legion of demons right there. Satan entered into Judas on the night that he betrayed Jesus. Now, I don't think Satan can enter in. I don't think Satan can enter in anywhere Jesus is. I don't think if you're really saved, I don't think you're going to have to worry about demon possession. If you're really saved. If you're really saved. Holy Spirit dwelling in there, but I'm going to tell you what, he can still get you. I'm going to tell you what, you start drifting away from the Word of God. You don't have your armor on. You don't have your sword on. Man, you get away from the herd. I guess we'll call us a herd. You get away from a herd, huh? Oh, he can get you. He can take your testimony. He can take your health. He can take your belongings. He can get you discouraged. He can get you distracted. He can take your witness where you can't witness to anybody. You don't have a testimony for nothing for God. He can get that from you. And when you get like that, I'm going to tell you what, you ain't doing nothing for God. People don't want to do anything for God. Why? Well, Satan got them right where they want them. And I'm going to tell you what, if you don't want Satan on your back, Christian, don't do nothing for God. Well, that's easy. Yeah, it's easy, but you're not doing anything for God. If you're doing something for God, he's going to be looking for you first, because you're not. The other people are already doing what Satan wants them to do. Nothing. Exactly it. Satan caused Ananias and Sapphira to lie in the church. He didn't say that he filled them. He said he caused them to lie in the church. They was acting like they had given a bunch of things to the church they didn't do. They act like they gave everything. They didn't have to give none of it, but they just let a lie be told, or let a lie be thought, more than likely. They let a lie be thought in the church. Ananias and Sapphira, right there. Hindered Paul from trying to get to Thessalonica. There was an angel trying to bring a message to Daniel in the Old Testament, and he was hindered by Satan's group. Couldn't get there. Said disease, mentioned that, storms, natural disasters. He's the prince of the power of the air. Storms can come up. Satan can cause it. Huh? He can do a lot of things. And you think about, I said that he can control all these circumstances. And everybody's in a circumstance of some kind, right? Everybody's in a circumstance. How many people get defeated in life by circumstances? Man, I mean, they get discouraged and beat down. And like I said, man, no use to God, no use to anybody else really in any capacity because of circumstances in their life. Sometimes we got to look and say, you know what? These circumstances that are happening to me, these circumstances that have come along, I got an enemy that's doing it. He's causing that. I heard the ladies, y'all watched the War Room movie on Friday night, War Room, right? What'd you learn about that, Kim? Who's not your enemy? Who else is not your enemy? Come on, I know how the movie went. Your husband's not your enemy. Your husband's not your enemy. Satan is your enemy. That's what you want. See? Think about that. Yeah, that's it. It's Satan. Satan's got these circumstances stirred up. That's what you learn in the movie. That's a fact. So what happens? They come along and then what happens? We make wrong choices. And we'll only make a wrong choice when we realize we're not looking at who the real enemy is in life, in circumstances in life, that Satan is the one doing that. We got to recognize the enemy, which brings me to my next point, recognize the enemy. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Satan transformed, like I said, an angel of light. Everybody likes light. Everybody likes something that looks good. Said if he was in a red suit, looked like the devil pictures we see with horns coming out of his head and a pitchfork, he stayed away. But he transformed. So look at the power he has. He has the power to transform himself, and I believe he has the power to transform anything into something that looks good. It'll look right. It'll look good. It looks like the way. That's how he gets people to go that way. He can transform things into looking good. But our text says to be sober and to be vigilant. Now, to be sober there means have a sound mind, or more specifically, it means possessing yourself. You got yourself under control. And I always added this in there as my definition. It means be wise. Be wise and think. Man, that's it. Be wise. Be vigilant. Vigilant means to be watching. All the time, vigilant. When I was you guys have been in the military, and I don't know if you ever, but I used to have to do these watches. When I was in boot camp particularly, had to stand there at this thing. It wasn't a soul coming, wasn't nobody going to come, but you got to stand there and guard the entrance to some building, and you just standing there on watch, and they had these commandments and stuff over here on the wall, and I'd go over and read them things. I didn't realize this when I joined up, not that it mattered, but if you fall asleep on watch during war in the United States military, you can be put to death. Our country. If you fall asleep. Now, if you fall asleep, it's not wartime. They just knock the fire out of you. That's all they do. But if you fall asleep on watch, you're supposed to be watching a place, a group of people during wartime, and you fall asleep, they don't care how tired you are, you can be put to death. Be vigilant. You got to be vigilant. It means you got to watch. And all the time, because you let your guard down. Back, you know, when I grew up, anybody my age or around, we had the Cold War. The big threat was we were all sweating a load about Russia dropping the bomb on us. And they even had in school, how many of you old enough remember when you did the nuclear bomb drill, right? They'd say, okay, we're going to have a drill, and they'd ring the bell, and everybody had to dive under their desk. Like if an atomic bomb hits you, your school desk is going to help. But if you were far enough out, it would. But, you know, they have a drill. That was a drill. It wasn't just a fire drill. It was a bomb drill. And in the neighborhood next to my neighborhood, there was these backyards. It was an older neighborhood. It was probably built in the late 40s, and my neighborhood was built in the late 50s. And the one in the late 40s, a lot of the yards had this big hump of dirt in the back with a little pipe sticking out of it. They were bomb shelters. Your house came with a bomb shelter. I know some of y'all thinking, wow, man. Yeah, house came. You had to make sure you got a house with a bomb. Well, it's got a bomb shelter. We're going to get that one. Well, you know, the wife, she didn't like the way the bomb shelter looked. They were all damp and dark concrete things. Had dirt mounted up on it. Had a crank in there. I remember we used to go in there and play, and my buddies, he had one. And it had a pipe sticking up, and you crank the thing and bring fresh air down in there. Like, it ain't going to bring nuclear fallout, but it's going to bring fresh air in there. And they had canned goods and stuff all stacked up on the shelf. You go down in there and play. Bomb shelters. Everybody was worried about it. And we had a drill at school. We dove under our desk to make sure you didn't get the light or whatever, the fire thing would get you. And everybody worried about that. we had to sing it, and I looked it up to see, because I remember it, but they don't use it anymore. I think it was from somewhere in the 80s, or from the 50s probably. I didn't write it down on these notes, I forget. Anyway, it was called the Dew Line. The Dew Line was Defense Early Warning, and it was a line of radar systems that went across the top of Canada. And what that was for was if Russia, see, if they sent a missile over in those days, that's the way it would come down and sort of strip. So this thing was designed. I think they discontinued using the Dew Line in 97 because we got other stuff that'll work. But that was to watch for missiles attack coming in. But they were up there all the time. My dad, now a lot of you didn't know my dad till later on in my life, but my dad, believe it or not, my dad worked on guided missiles and radar, and he had something to do with maintaining guided missile sites in the mid-Atlantic region of the United States. And so all around our country, and see, most people don't know or are not aware of it, or maybe briefly know, we had guided missile, we have guided missile sites, East Coast, West Coast, and there are ones that where Dad was, they were underground. There was these long concrete, you sloped in. It's where my dad went to work every day. Go down there at Fort Story and go down into missile things. And down underneath there are these missiles. If something happened, we got attacked. They roll them babies out on train track looking thing. Boom, they came up out of the ground, and man, they was ready to shoot. And we had missiles, and that's what Dad did. He worked on guided missiles. He worked on the radar systems that operated those things. I got to go down in there. Because I was in the Navy, I knew this, that we had nuclear subs. We have nuclear subs right now all around the world. They're armed with missiles that are pre-programmed for destinations, cities, all over the world. Anyone, and I'm sure a lot of them are in the Middle East right now, used to be in Russia, probably still are, but they have them everywhere. And there are spy ships. We have spy ships. I tried to get stationed on one in the Indian Ocean one time because I knew how the duty was, and it was pretty good. They got spy ships out there. All they're listening. There's all kind of stuff goes on. I carried secret messages for a little while when I was in Sicily, and I could read them every now and then. You wouldn't believe the stuff that goes on that we never hear nothing about in the news. There's with little groups of this and that and the other thing. And our enemy knows this, that we have all these defenses up. That's why nobody comes over here and attacks us straight on. Well, see, Satan, he knows that we have defenses if we'll use them. See, like you had to maintain those missile sites. That's what Dad maintained to make sure everything operated as should. And you had to maintain it. I'm going to tell you something. We have weapons too. We've got the Word of God. And we, you know, and you hear this. Listen, I know this because I've been a Christian a long time. 1987. Talk about prayer. You hear, here he goes again. Prayer. Simple word. We know what it is. That's when we spend 35 and a half seconds spouting out our list of sick people to God, and that's what we know about. There he goes, talking about prayer. Listen, I'm going to tell you something about prayer. It is an offensive weapon. It's a defensive weapon. It's a powerful weapon. We've got the Word of God. We've got prayer. Right there is two weapons. What happens? Satan gets you thinking up, same old stuff. Where'd that come from? Wasn't from God. Huh? It's coming from Satan. Listen, you don't need that stuff right there. We got the church as a physical church place to meet. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves, Christians, together as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Not to forsake ourselves. Why? Because the herd. Get in the herd. Man, get encouraged. Stay in the herd. Stay where they're safe. You know, something's going to happen there. We have all these weapons, and it's the same thing that God's given to us. Listen. Those old missile sites, they were there day in, day out. You know, guys like my dad that went down there and worked at those places, man, day in, day out. Man, you think nothing's going to happen. I'm going to tell you, when it does happen, you'd be thanking God that those things still work when they send them out of there. And so we've got this enemy, and this enemy's always watching. And we've got to stay alert, and that's why and our military does. That's why all these things, all these maneuvers, you guys know in the military, you went on maneuvers. We did the sea ones. Y'all did the land ones. You know, you train, you practice. Why? Because if something does happen, we got to know what we're doing. We got to be ready for that moment. May never happen, but it might, and we don't know. The first thing was we have an enemy. We have to know our enemy, and then the third thing is we have to resist the enemy. Ephesians 6:11, the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, listen, you got to put on your whole armor. You got to have it on every day. That you know, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shod, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. We've got to have those things, the sword of the Spirit. We've got to have that. Our enemy can do things that we can't control. I already spoke about it. But I'm going to tell you, God can control those things. And God has given us those, his, not only prayer, his word, we've got his Spirit. Right there. And it's like, because, you know, listen, I've preached out of this text before. But, you know, we got to be reminded of these things. We got to watch and be vigilant, man, all the time. You know, I see stuff now. Before I got saved, some of that stuff wouldn't faze me. But now that I am saved, when I see stuff in the news, see stuff that happens, and I'm going to say, uh-huh, yep. In the world order of things, in the God's order of things, I say, yep, this is the way it's going, the way God said it would go. We see those things going on right there. And so we've got to have our armor on because we're told to resist the devil. We have to stand against the wiles. He's got wiles of the devil. Jesus himself resisted Satan with the word of God. And listen, if that's the way Jesus had to do it, you know that's the way we've got to do it. Satan came at him. He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. He gave him the word of God. Ephesians 4:27, listen to this, it says, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. How do we give place to the devil? See, we can give, and now, listen, this is written to a church, so this is Christian people. It ain't talking about lost people. It's talking about saved people giving place to the devil. Listen, how do you give place? Well, a lot of ways. Anger, holding grudges, unforgiveness. And what happens, when you hold grudges, this is what happens. You roll something over and over in your mind. You keep replaying it in your mind. It's like a movie that just keeps on repeat. And you over and over and over in your mind. And buddy, when you're doing that, you've already given place to the devil. That's what happens. You'll give place to where something will come out of that. You know, the Bible talks about not letting the sun go down on your wrath. That means that, you know what, if you're angry with somebody, get it all settled before you go to bed. Because I'll tell you what's going to happen if you don't. You're going to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning thinking about it, and you can't get back to sleep, and then you're laying there flip-flopping around, and now you're tired because you didn't get no rest, and guess what? You know how you are. I give place to the devil when I get tired. Huh? I'm liable to snap your head off just verbally, you know, when I'm tired because I don't have any patience to start with, and when I'm tired, it's even worse. you know what I'm saying? You get overly tired, you're not feeling well. When are we apt to use that old tongue right there to, you know, say something we shouldn't say, hurt somebody's feelings, you know, be mean, I guess we could say right there. And then that discourages them, right? And so now we've given place to the devil in our life. The devil's actually using us to discourage somebody else. I mean, that's giving place to the devil, letting the sun go down on our wrath, staying angry all the time. It's giving place to the devil. Bitterness, anger, hate, unforgiveness, grudges, revenge. All those things are in the devil's place. That's the devil's place right there. And as God's people, see, we're not to give place to the devil. All he's looking for, listen, Satan only looking for, he's looking for a little chink in that armor. All he's got to have is a little crack. All he's got to have is just one little time when them eyes start to flutter when you're not paying attention. That's when he's going to get there. How many of you ever started out something that was going to be good, it was going to be a good thing and all that, you wouldn't think, and the next thing you know, it just turned up into a big blown-up mess, man, some kind of big argument, fussing and fighting and feuding and all that, and that wasn't your intent when you got there. What happened? And you ever stop, and sometimes you stop and say, what happened? How'd that happen? You gave place to the devil. That's exactly how it happened. Another way to give place to the world, and I already mentioned it earlier, give place to the devil is living on the fringe of the world. I always, when I preach on this, I always mention this. Samson, you know Samson? Samson looked like the strongest guy in the Bible, physically strong. I mean, he defeated 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey, crying out loud, you got to be some kind of man right there. He was the strongest man that we know about in the Bible. And yet Samson, he wanted to live as close to the world as he could. When you look at the little town he lived in, on the look at a map, it's right on the fringe, right on the border of where the Philistines were. Philistia, I guess is how you say it. It was right on the fringe of it. And, you know, of course, Delilah, she was a Philistine. He started seeing them people, seeing them women. He got right on the, and that's where a lot of Christians want to live. They don't want to live as close to God as they can get. They're trying to see how close to the world they can live and still be a Christian instead of seeing how close to God they can get. And so what happens is you give place to the devil when you start living on the fringe of the world and start looking at things you shouldn't look at and start doing what you shouldn't do and listening to people or things that you shouldn't listen to and going to places that you shouldn't go to, hanging around people you shouldn't be hanging around. You're giving place to the devil, tolerating worldliness. And being disobedient, anytime we're disobedient, we have given place to the devil. All he's looking for, as I said, he's just looking for a little place to get a toehold. You know, a little acorn, a seed can fall down in a crack of a big old rock, and that thing start growing, it'll bust that thing wide open. It'll bust it wide open. That's how Satan works the same way. He's just trying to get a place he can get in. And he'll get in there. That's our enemy that we have right there. So we have to be vigilant, be sober. We're commanded, the Bible commands us to resist the devil, he will flee. James 4:7, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, I like that verse, and I like reading it out of the Bible that way, because a lot of times we just say, well, resist the devil, and he will flee with you, from you. No, the first thing it said was submit yourselves unto God. You submit yourself to God. That's the key to the whole thing. When you submit yourself to God, guess what? You are going to resist the devil. If Peter had to listen to that and those instructions right there, he wouldn't have failed. He wouldn't have been, remember when Jesus went to pray in the garden, he separated and he took Peter and James, I think, with him. And what happened to them? Fell asleep. What happened when he fell asleep? The enemy, the adversary, got him, huh? Man, I mean, all the other ones ran off, but Peter, man, he whipped out a sword and lopped off a guy's ear, man, wasn't paying attention to what Jesus had said, and then he followed from afar off, because why? Because he was afraid. Satan got him, man, got him. And then he lied. Jesus knew. He said, you're going to deny me three times? I'm going to tell you right there, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Peter said, no, I'm not. I'm ready to die. But you know what? He fell asleep when he should have been praying. Didn't have his armor on right there. And guess what? He failed. He failed because he didn't have his armor on. He wouldn't have denied the Lord if he'd listened to what Jesus warned him about it. And the only way that we can stand before Satan is to bow before God. That's it right there. Amen. We've got an enemy. You have to recognize him. And the Bible teaches us, we're commanded in his word, that we got to resist the devil. We got to be aware. You got to be, I'm going to tell you what, every second. I don't care if it's going out the door. You just go into the grocery store, something simple. You think, I'm not going to get in trouble. I'm not going to fail. It's right when you think that. Right when you think that, he's going to get you, huh? That's exactly when it's going to happen. Let's all stand with our heads bowed.